Get connected with Take Two Radio on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio. For email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit Take2Radio.com.
The opinions expressed in the Mallard Report are those of the hosts and participants and are not intended to and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of any simulcasting radio network or sponsor. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions.
It's the Mallard Report. Yeah, the Mallard Report. The paranormal talk radio show with Jim Mallard as your host. See what lies beneath any paranormal activity. Go inside a world that others don't want to see. It's the Mallard Report. Yeah, the Mallard Report.
I want to welcome everybody to the Mallard Report tonight. I was just apologizing to my guest, Juan Vincent. I'm going to call him Vin tonight. If I start just hacking up along, I'm sorry. I've been a little under the weather, but I wanted to give you the show tonight because I've been looking forward to this. I've had Vin booked for over a half a year now, a couple of months. Yeah, it's been a while, so I wanted to get him on while the date was fresh before we had to do this all over again, and he hates me.
Yeah.
So how are you doing tonight?
Never.
How are you doing tonight? Now that I've complained about how
I'm doing really well tonight. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing really good right now.
Aside from your cold or
yeah, well, I'm doing really good right now. I've got the glasses of water and the cough drops, so either I'm going to have to go to the bathroom or I'm going to hack on the air. One of the two.
Okay, I'm fine with either one. So
okay. So before I forget, go visit Spirit Vlox apps. Check them out. They're the sponsor of the show tonight. And while you're out there, if you need the Mallard Report app, I've got one out. You can listen to the show live streaming or podcasts or any other way. Go to italkparanormal.com/go, and you can download the app there. Okay. Got that all taken care of before I forgot because, well, I probably would have if I didn't do it right then. So you're my tarot card guy. Let's start there.
Okay.
What got you into tarot cards?
Well, actually, I've been playing around with the tarot card since I was in high school. I've always been interested in the paranormal and the supernatural. In fact, my dad used to tell me ghost stories all the time when I was like six, and I just loved it. I believed in the paranormal, and you know, I was wanting to always connect with it in some way. And I think early 80s was when I heard of the tarot deck, and I thought that would be a good place for me to start a communication system with other forces or other entities that were not in our own world.
So, can you tell me a little bit about the history, like the general history of tarot cards, where they came from?
The general history of it? Well, in my research, I found out that they were actually playing cards.
Okay.
And I think it was in the 15th, 16th century when they started to become cards for the fortune-telling industry. But before, they were just playing cards. In fact, they had to add on, I think, a couple of the major arcana suits in there with the court cards, and that's when it became more for the fortune-telling and the psychic industry.
So how do you do this? I mean, you sent me these decks of cards, and I've actually had a couple of different readings done by different people, but I'm sure I noticed that it's different by every person who does it. So is it a personal thing, or would you prefer people do it one way, or where are your thoughts about that?
My thoughts are, and this is from my own experience of working with other people's tarot cards for such a long time, that I've always felt disconnected with the tarot deck that I use. I've used the Rider-Waite, I've used Tarot of the Ages, several of them, Query and Tarot, and I loved them, but there was something that was missing for me, and it wasn't until I was in my 40s, you know, after working with the tarot cards for over 30 years, that I realized I can, you know, create my own deck with respect to the tradition, but kind of put my own flair into it so that my understanding of it is more, that my intuitive work with it is more immediate. I didn't have to overthink pictures or overthink words because I'm already using my own pictures and my own words on the deck.
Yeah, I was going to say, it has to make that personal connection just like anything else when you're trying to be spiritual about it, so it makes sense to me.
Yeah. And I totally believe that relationship with the spiritual is ultimately individual. It's between the person and the spirit energies that they're working with. And the cards that I made is for me, actually. It wasn't for reading in other people. I really made it so that I had my own deck that I can connect with on more levels than other people's decks. And so the inspiration for the deck that I made is for other people to actually, and those who are already working with tarot, those who are new to it, to come up with their own connection with the tradition of tarot. And I think that makes the connection between the person using it and the energies we're working with, the connection is stronger that way, since there's that personal.
So I'm going to jump back for a minute. You've mentioned the deck of cards. How many of tarot cards is there in a deck?
The tarot deck, there's 78 cards, and there's the 22 major arcana added to the four court cards, which are the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. And symbolically, each court card is like a realm, an elemental realm. And that there's 14 in there, and it goes from 1 or ace all the way to the king. And in fact, the playing cards now is making comparison with the playing decks now, and what's missing from the playing cards is the knight card. There's a knight of cups, knight of swords, wands, and knight of pentacles that is not in the playing cards. So that's another difference with the playing cards and the tarot deck, aside from the 22 major arcana that is only in the tarot.
I know this doesn't make for a good radio point, but I've got the decks that you sent me here.
Oh, cool.
So which deck is the first one you did? Since I've got
the first one, you know what's really interesting? After I had done the Tamarau Tarot, I did two more, and in the process, I forgot that for my master thesis in transformative art, I actually did a tarot for that, and I completely forgot about that. So that was actually my very first tarot. The other two follow-up cards to the Tamarau Tarot delves more into, again, I wanted to infuse it with more personal meaning, and so I really wanted to work with the spiritual practices and traditions that I've worked with throughout my life. And so there's the Duende Tarot, which is based on the Filipino folklore of Duende, which is an elemental spirit, dwarves and fairies in the Philippine language. They call it Duende. And the other one is Trickster Tarot, which the elements and the images there are inspired by the African diasporic religions of voodoo and Santeria that I was also trained in. So I'm actually using these cards not only as a tarot deck, but in a way I'm recording. It's actually a record of my spiritual history, of the practices that I've researched and practiced in.
That's fascinating. I mean, it's a good way to keep track, I guess, another of your beliefs.
But, you know, after I had finished the two cards, I went back to the Tamarau House because I know it's going to be a work in progress. All of these cards are going to be a work in progress, and it's going to be in cycles. So I know that sometimes I'll work with one card more than the other, but I really wanted to tie back into the Tamarau House Tarot because that's really the foundation. And that's actually when I learned, when I started to believe that it's really between me and the spirits that I'm working with. So the Tamarau House Tarot was the inspiration for that personal relationship I had with the spiritual paranormal realm.
I need a bigger desk. No, so I think
that's
told
okay.
You.
My desk is a pillow right now, so
I'm jealous. So I'm going to use your Tamarau House cards because I told you before we went on air that anybody that wants a reading, I will do it. With his cards, I'm going to give you one card reading. I'll take a picture of it, and I'll send the question from the Tamarau House guide here so everybody can be on board. All you have to do to get your one card reading is tweet at me. I want my reading. So tweet at iTalkParanormal, and then I will take care of that later this week, because obviously I don't want to be doing it while I'm live, because that would just cause all kinds of confusion. And people listen to the podcast, so if you want one, just tweet at me, and I will get that taken care of for everybody. Everybody and anybody that wants a reading, just tweet at me at iTalkParanormal, and I'll flip the card, and I'll make sure Vin here gets to see your reading as well, and he might have a comment or two as well. So, just
yeah, I'm so glad that you're doing the reading, because it really is. I'm really interested in. You're probably the first person I've talked to who's actually using them. So it you know, it's a practical approach. I'm interested in hearing how you play off of the images and the words that are given to you.
I've never actually read a tarot card, so when I do this,
that makes it even more interesting.
This is going to be a total first, and
you can't do it wrong. In fact, I was thinking of what are my beliefs about tarot, and the first thing that I remember is being intimidated by the tarot when I was young because of all these esoteric symbols and words. And it was when I was creating this deck that I realized, wait a minute, just approach each card, and there's 78 cards in a tarot deck. Approach each card not as a tarot deck, but approach them as an inspiration to a story. And you're the author to that story. You create that story, hopefully inspired by the image or words, either one or both.
Well, you know, I kind of got inspired to do this based off you tweeted me a few pictures of cards, and I'm thinking, hey, I should try it. What have I got to lose?
You can't do it wrong. If you're going into it with good intention, all you can really do is have fun with it. I think that element of fun is the other thing that I want to encourage, is that take the intimidation out. Forget that, you know, they're hundreds of years old and they're, you know, the tradition goes way back. Just look at them as the pictures that they are and see what you see, you know, kind of like let free association. The cards are meant to help you with your free association, and that's helped me with everything else in my life too. So,
don't take this the wrong way. I'm glad that was the deck you were talking about, because that was the deck that drew my attention in the first place, so it worked out well.
Nice.
So we're on that kind of almost common wavelength.
Yeah. Yeah, synchronicity. And
so, okay. So if people were trying to figure out which deck is right for them, besides, I mean, we were talking about this a little bit ago, the kind of general, just overall feeling of it, is there any more they should be thinking about when they go to shop for these?
For me, my suggestion, and again from personal experience, is I listen to my intuition, and the cards over the years have taught me to really hear my own inner voice and intuition and listen to it. So there's an intuitive feeling. The person resonates with the particular cards that they're going to buy. It's like not even thinking about it. I don't want to take logic completely out of it, but I really want to downplay all the cerebral stuff and have the people go into it as this is the card that feels right to them. And it's a feeling. It's almost an intuitive feeling. It's best when you can't explain it into words, because that's when you know something magical is happening.
So my next question is kind of a more detail-oriented question. You've designed three of these decks. I'm sure they all took varying lengths, but how long does it normally take? Because I'm sure now you've kind of getting the concept down and know how to do it. Right. So how long is, like, the last one? How long did that take you?
The last one, the last two I did together, because I wanted to create decks for my experiences, but I was having trouble with the images and the words, and I realized that if I did the Dwenda and the Trickster deck together, they could almost talk to each other, and so I kind of did them at the same time, and it took me about 2.5-3 months. Because I have so much creative material with my photos that all I really needed to do was think about the card, what it meant to me, and go find that picture and word that represents that.
2.5 months, that's like a card a day.
Yeah, it came in waves. There were days where it was just total block, and I couldn't. And then there were days when it all flowed, so, you know, off and on, but about 2.5 to 3 months. the card.
That's not bad. I can visualize things, but when it actually comes to rubber meeting the road, I can't get it how I like it.
It's like, for me, I get overwhelmed because all the, you know, I'm a visual thinker, so all these images are like pouring in.
See, I'm just rigid. I just want to do stuff.
Yeah, I'm like that. I'm immediate gratification, too. That's why I wanted to make like a really shortcut version of the tarot in a way, too. Like one word, okay, now I can take this and let it inspire me to, you know, find the messages that are in that.
People ask me why I like Twitter, because it's short. I can do it.
Yes, and concise, right. I totally love that. And even this interview is kind of scary because I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to draw out my answers or put more words than I'm used to because I'm so used to concise, short answers with things. Like yes, no, and, you know, a reason. So
that's
this
okay.
Is good practice for me, actually.
As long as you don't give me yes or no, we'll be okay. I think I can fill in enough gaps.
But honestly, though, the Tamara House Tarot took about 35 years before I got to it. So if you want to count the 35 years of working with the tarot cards before I did the first Tamara Tarot, it took about 35 years and a few months.
To break out the shell, so to speak.
Yeah. It was a coming out for me. It was interesting because at that point in time, I had become so disillusioned with a lot of like the metaphysical information out there and the popularity of it, and it's great and I loved it, but at the same time it was overwhelming for me. So at that time I really needed to find that connection for myself. So I came out of the broom closet that way with a tarot.
That happens. You got to jump out once in a while and try new things. And I'm already getting it.
Yeah.
I've got three or four people that want readings, so I'm reading my Twitter. I shouldn't be doing that
either.
Nice.
You're busy already. you already have readings.
And here's the funny thing. I hate to admit this live, but my live numbers are dwarfed by my podcast listeners, so I'm assuming I'll be getting them all week long. So.
Yeah. You opened the can, Jim.
Hey, the good news is maybe, here's the goal of all this. Maybe I'll sell you a deck of cards. Hopefully. If not, I'm going to have fun doing it.
That'd be
win-win,
nice.
Right? I'm going to have fun. Going to hopefully sell you some cards. What can go wrong?
Nothing can. That sounds like a perfect plan.
Okay. So, this question here is probably the most controversial one that I have wrapped in my mind. Do mediums hate tarot cards?
I can't answer that from a medium point of view because I'm not a medium.
Well, you haven't got
email
from them.
I'm not a medium or a psychic. That's a big point here. It's I don't consider myself that, so it would be difficult for me to answer that. But I think it's individual. I know friends who are mediums, and they use tarot cards. In fact, some of them actually, that's all they use is the tarot cards. And that gets them into that mode of thinking with the supernatural. It's their kind of gateway into where they need to go with the reading they're giving somebody. So I'm sure it's individual. I wouldn't be able to say that all mediums hate it. I'm sure each one has their own personal preference, and some like it and some don't, I guess.
So you said your father has told you ghost stories, so that kind of got you into this realm. So are you still into the paranormal, like the ghosts and the other stuff?
I am. I hope it's okay saying this. I love watching Ghost Adventures. You know, that the kind of shows where more scientific proof is being collected to prove that there are other realities besides the physical reality that we're in, it's what's getting me more interested in the paranormal now. Because for a while, in the beginning, I had crisis of faith, and I didn't know there were times when I didn't know what to believe in. And so the popularity of the paranormal and the metaphysics now has inspired me to, you know, believe, there's something out there that we can't see. And there are people who are getting evidence, scientific evidence of it, which is really, really exciting for me. So I'm totally into the paranormal now, more than I was when I was younger, I think. So, but go ahead, ask a question, because I was going to just mention that it's more of Not a survival thing, but it's something that actually helps me get through the day. The paranormal gives me hope that there's a lot more to life than there is. I believe we're going somewhere after we pass on.
I have two totally different direction questions, so I'm going to go with the totally opposite question from Tara for a minute. I read your bio, and you grew up Catholic. Now, how would this go over in the Catholic religion, the tarot?
When I was growing up, and this was in the 70s, and of course my family was Roman Catholic, they were okay with it, but my parents weren't that open to it. They weren't open to working with the paranormal. They believed in the spiritual, and they believed in, what they were practicing in Catholicism. But it's interesting that when it came to interacting with these spiritual entities, it was almost taboo for them. And I think that has a lot to do with being old world Filipino and also being Roman Catholic as well. And what's interesting too is that despite all that, my dad still told me ghost stories. So there was something in them that interested them. I don't think they were that aware of it though, but I would say in general, I don't think it matters anymore. Tarot is such a very approachable, I think, way of communicating to the supernatural. And I think the stigma of it being anything dark or anything evil, I think that's starting to fade more now. I mean, it still exists, but the popularity of it is helping people, even Catholics are into tarot cards. You know, not all of them, but the Catholic friends that we know, they're open to it.
Yeah, I think everybody's a little more connected, so to speak, spiritually now than they were.
There's a wave almost that I feel like is happening now, that it's more people are more receptive to this than they used to be. That's great. It makes me happy.
And then I was reading your bio, and then you transitioned into being a Wicca. So how did that go over?
To the Wicca?
Yeah. How did you start to figure out that's a course that you wanted to go down, and then?
It was kind of like, for me, it was the only road to go down. I was brought up in Michigan, so there wasn't a lot of metaphysical resources in the Midwest for me growing up. So when I moved to San Francisco, the Wicca community was here. And so I figured, the witchcraft, Wicca, all those things I'm interested in, I'm like, this is the road to go. And so I started to learn, I started to get into the Wicca tradition with people who invited me into their covens and into their circles, and that was my experience with them. It was kind of the foundation, I think, of a lot of my beliefs now is the Wicca foundation. There's a lot of beliefs that I still hold on to from that tradition.
Which, for those who are unfamiliar, which I host a paranormal show, so I'm assuming that most people are kind of familiar with it, the earth, the nature, the being one with that, not just, I know I just kind of butcherized it, but, right?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that again?
I was going to say the being the one with earth, the nature, and I'm kind of butchering it, but I just want to clear up what it is.
No, you have it. You have it. That's it, nature. There's one's human nature and there's the external nature, and it's always that relationship between the two.
See, I'm not that far off, and that's the important thing that I'm not. So, this is going to be an awkward question at this time in the interview, but advice for people just overall, in general, because we're at this kind of spiritual apex of the interview where we've been through all your stuff. So what's your advice?
My advice is to find the spiritual within yourself. Like I had mentioned before, my cards are more for strengthening my own relationship with my own spirits as opposed to giving readings to people. Not that I'm against, readings and people getting readings, but I'm learning that ultimately it comes down to the individual and what they believe and what they're comfortable with. So my suggestion is, be honest with yourself, and if there's something in you that is prompting you to work with tarot cards or work with runes or work with any type of metaphysical tool. The intuition here is the most important. One's intuition and listening to it. Always listen to that. And that, for me, I've never gone wrong by following my own intuition. So, I believe that spirit is, you know, I believe that spirit is an individual relationship with that person. So it's you can't go wrong. Do it your way authentically. It'll open up doors, miraculous doors. So.
It's hard to argue with yourself sometimes, even though people do it all the time. You should just trust your gut.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
So I wanted to reiterate that my cards are not to give answers to anybody but myself, but by putting it out there, I hope that it inspires people to say, hey, look at what this guy did. You know, it's not like the other cards, you know, and let them know there's many roads to working with the tarot, many interpretations of working with the tarot. So it's more like I want to encourage people to find the answers within themselves in connection to spirit.
That's the important thing, because no matter how many times you tell somebody how to do something, they have to figure it out on their own anyways.
Right, right. And they have to, they at the end, I accept it or I don't accept it. So, like, I'm like, oh, my God, it's really all up to me. Regardless of all the readings I may have gotten in my life, it always ended up, which ones am I going to listen to and which ones am I going to act on? So it came back to me and my intuition and my relationship with my spirits.
So we've kind of talked about the past of this process. Where are you at in the present? Are you making any more cards? Or where are we at right now?
So right now I have the three, and I'm spiraling back to the Tamara House Tarot because now I feel like I've gotten this done, I can relax a little. That kind of feeling where I needed to get it down on paper, now I can go back to the beginning again. That's where I'm at now, is going back to the Tamara House Tarot and really looking at the images again that I put and starting to work with the images because, you know, after making these cards for a while, you know, a part of me kind of disconnects from the image, so I have to really go back and relook at my own images and remind myself, why did I put this picture on there? And why did I use those words?
So are you thinking a 2.0, or are you just talking for yourself?
Say that again?
Are you looking to relaunch the cards, or are you just looking to reinvent them for you?
I'm going to relaunch the cards. And, for example, we had I used the Tamara House cards to inspire me to create this short story called Elements of a Fool. I have this pipe dream of being an author, but I hate to write. So it's like, what can I write that is also connected to the Tamara cards? And I thought, oh, the fool, journey of a fool, because I felt like my whole journey with the tarot cards was as a fool. In fact, the fool is my favorite card on there. I can relate to the fool. So I created a short story where the fool card was the character that finds his elements throughout the whole story. And so that's going on with the Tamara House. And I think more stories are going to come out like that. I'm not going to do any more on the cards themselves, but I think they're going to be the inspiration for short stories. Because I want to create these stories for myself. I'm like, oh, maybe other people will be interested in it too.
So that leads me to, so that's your future project, turning more into into a writer.
Yeah, that's correct.
As fun as it may
be
honest, for you.
To be, say that again?
As fun as it may be.
You know, it keeps me going. I've always wanted to have something to commit myself to, like some purpose in life. And in a strange way, this is helping me realize this is my purpose in life, to work with the tarot, the images, and to just open up the interpretations and enjoy reading it. You know, I don't want to not have fun doing it. There's always that element of it has to be enjoyable on some level.
Yes, life has to be enjoyable. That's the important thing. If you don't catch anything else from tonight, enjoy life.
Enjoy life.
Simple enough, right? An hour-long conversation,
right?
We just summed it up in three words. Okay.
And I can say, I can say that to you easily, but I'm still working on it. You know,
yeah,
every
it
day
sounds
like,
easy. It sounds great. But I know it's not. But it needs to be a little more.
One more thing, though. I am working. I wasn't sure if I was going to reveal this, but since you asked, I am working on my. I believe it's going to be one of my. I think my last deck. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the African religion of Santeria. It's
no.
kind of a Caribbean tradition. And there is a goddess there. Her name is Oshun. And she is the goddess of love and sweet waters. And I have an affinity for her. So I want to kind of dedicate a deck for her. She's one of the spirits that I work with. And so I kind of wanted to do one last card. And it would be the Oshun deck. And it would be the inspirations of what this goddess has taught me in life and how to manage and get through.
Well, might as well do one more. While you're wanting to do it.
It's kind of like the flow is coming, right? So if I try to stop the flow, I might explode.
That's right. We don't want that to happen, so.
Yeah.
So my next question based off your website is, I've seen you do seminars, but I didn't catch on what.
Mm-hmm. They were, I was working with a friend of mine, and we were trying to get people to find their own personal symbols in life, find the symbols that they strongly connect with, because there's so many symbols happening in everything that we're watching and reading, and I think for me, I had to figure out what my symbols were before I can even understand all these other symbols that was being thrown out at me. So the workshop was more about knowing more about yourself by knowing what symbols, what images, what colors resonates with.
Sounds interesting, because I do hear that a lot, that people need to identify with their color or an animal or just something they see every day,
totem,
just to make that connection.
Exactly. I love that. The totem spirit, especially totem animals, are another thing that totally inspires me to keep working with the tarot. It's that the human trying to contact the non-human energies kind of relationship.
Yeah, it's an interesting quest to figure out how to do it and this, that, and the other. So, my guest tonight is Juan Vincent. I've been talking tarot cards and spirituality and all this fun stuff. It all kind of ties together. Before I forget, I want to mention one more time that I'm doing a one-card reading from one of his decks. So all you have to do is tweet at me at iTalkParanormal. I want a reading. And sometime this week, probably tomorrow, if you are listening tonight and throughout, when after I get them, I'll do them. That's what it is. I'm going to have some fun with it and give it a try. And if you don't like it, unfollow me.
You can't go wrong. You'll do it perfectly right. So I'm excited for people to get your reading on it.
So where can people find your cards? Where can people find you? Let's talk about that now that I've plugged myself
again. Well, they can visit tamarohouse.com. is the website, and I believe we haven't released the Trickster or the Duende yet. I'm still trying to get the copyrights on those. So right now all we have on the website is the Tamarau Tarot deck and the Elements of the Fool short story that goes kind of accompanies it, as well as the manual, companion guide that I don't know if you received like pages of question, like cards and questions associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's related to the Tamarau, but the manual is a more more refined version of that. There's more interpretations, more wordings that go with that. So those three things can be found on the website.
So how hard is it to like print these and put these all together? I mean, we talked about design and stuff earlier, but now you've
right.
you probably have to outsource and be printed, so there's probably a whole mess of stuff there, and then trying to sell them.
Yeah. Well, the printing was actually the easy part. The copyright was easy. And so it's really just getting the word out there and selling the cards. That's the tricky part for me, because it's not like I go out there and, you know, I don't proclaim to be a psychic or medium, so I don't, you know, in that industry, I don't have that opening. So it's kind of, I'm still trying to figure out, how do I get these out there? And this interview is perfect. I'm so glad that you invited me.
Well, I'm so glad that you decided to wait to come on, you know, because like I said earlier, it took a while, but it's all worth it.
Yeah. Yes. I'm appreciating my later years in life now, because I'm actually integrating everything I'm learning, and it's finally starting to make sense to me. It took me 44 years to collect all my material. Now the cards are starting to help me put them all together in a way that I can believe in.
Well, it's been a diverse journey to this point, because like we were just discussing, being Catholic and transitioning, and it's an unique journey that you have to tell the story. And I know you said you wanted to be an author, but at least you're leaving some kind of mark out there for somebody to...
I hope so. And, you know, with the Catholicism, that's still, the images of that religion is so strongly imprinted on me. And you could tell, because a lot of, there are a few cards in there with Catholic saints on there. And even when I was creating those cards, I'm like, oh, what's, you know, what kind of reception is this going to get? And I'm like, just put it on there because it's part of my history. And it helped me to get to where I was at. So I wanted to acknowledge, and I'm not a practicing Catholic now, but that acknowledges where my roots and why I even became interested in the spiritual.
So earlier I told you I had two different questions. I want to go two different directions, so I'm going back the other direction now.
Okay.
Is there any, because I was reading here in my one chat room about the Ouija board and how people can mishandle it. Mm-hmm. Is that possible with tarot cards? You know, opening this portal, so to speak, or whatever you want to have.
I believe it is. I believe that that's possible in anything you do, whether it's recreation or, you know, or metaphysical. And with that, I believe that since the tarot card is a form of communicating and opening pathways of interacting with spirits, that I believe that, yes, it's possible that things can get distorted and it can open things up that... the person might not be intending to open. And that's why I go back to find the meaning that you have for it, because I believe that if the person who's working with the cards is really authentic to who they are, I think that really minimizes the risk of opening something that's negative for that person, because it's based on that person's authenticity and truth. And you can back that up. You can stand up for what you believe in, and I think that's a strong barrier for random things to happen.
You have to, as I always tell people, I don't care what you believe in, just believe in it.
Yeah, exactly. So two things, believe in it and enjoy it, you know. Believe in life and enjoy life, I think, are two good.
Making our list longer as we progress here, this is good. Now, it's a fascinating point. I've thought about the Ouija board, and I've said this before on my show. I'm not necessarily a fan of the Ouija board because I just don't like the spell.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
That's a horrible reason to discount something. But
no, it's valid. Right. And how do you know that whatever's coming through knows how to spell? So they might be misspelling it too.
Well, as we look at our culture today, everything's LOL or, you know, shortened. So, you know, how is this going to work in 100 years, when some, you know, they're trying to communicate with spirit from, like, my generation, everything gets shortened and text phrased, and they'll be looking at this sheet and they'll be like, LOL, what's that mean? That doesn't mean anything. Throw
right.
it out.
Too many words.
Yeah.
Too many words. And that's why the symbology of my spiritual practice is really the foundation of the cards. Everything I believe in is symbol based, because that's like my ultimate shorthand for things. You know, a circle can mean so many different things to so many different people. What does it mean to me? It's an access to already communicating with something more than who I am. So it's all about the concise words to me in symbol form, I think that's a beautiful place to begin, actually.
And here's the other thing about symbols on a tarot card. They're international. It's, you know, you don't have to translate it to whatever language you're in. The person can see it and perceive it how they want to perceive it.
Correct. And they'll infuse it or charge it with whatever belief system they grew up with or they're practicing. Because even the cross symbol, the Catholic side of me says, oh, it's Jesus on a cross, but the African spirituality side of me says, no, it's the crossroads. It's where things meet in the middle. So it's really cool how, okay, this is what is being said about one symbol, but what does it really mean to me, and how does it connect with the original interpretation of it? So symbols being like a concise language is, I believe, spirits speak in symbols. And if a person can get used to interpreting their own symbols, I think more people will realize that spirits are communicating to them, but in symbol form. In images and bird, especially animals, I totally like if I see a bird or a butterfly, it means something to me. So it's like the language of the spirit for me is these images, because it's easier to communicate with a picture than it is with words.
Yeah, and the other thing is, people, I worked with an Indian shaman for close to 2.5 years, and the first lesson he gave me was, you're going to see something and you're going to know that you need to slow down. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you're going to know it when you see it.
I said,
okay. So on my way home, I almost hit a deer. And I'm like, aha!
That's it.
I know it. It clicked instantly. It was so easy for me at that point. You know, because I just heard it and there it was. But then I started paying attention to different things, you know.
It opens up your third eye in a way where you start to look at the world around you. And this is where I was at. I was almost getting bored with what I was seeing around me. And it wasn't until I realized I'm not looking deep enough, or I'm not really there's more to it. Treat my life like a symbol and treat the things that I see and find different layers of meanings into it. It's actually making life more exciting for me.
And it's so easy to get so busy nowadays. Between the internet and between Twitter, like we were saying, that thing buzzes by. You could waste a good hour there and not realize that I do it all the time.
Yeah, me too.
But there's so many small, minute details when you're outside or driving down the road, or just, you have to take attention to detail is where spirituality starts, I think.
The thing is, I've learned that it's not always something that the person has to try or put a lot of effort into. It's almost the intuitive side of us kicks in, and we'll pick up on something that we wouldn't normally pick up on, because at that moment, that person was meant to see it, like the deer for you.
Yeah.
So there's that part where it sounds like a lot of hard work when you try to put it into words of seeing symbols and finding meaning into it, but I think it's more intuitive. Like, if the person was meant to see that symbol, they're going to see it.
Yeah,
and there's going to be meaning to it.
You have to put the quest to it, though. You just can't assume it's going to happen.
Well, there's just, you know, I have to keep reminding myself to be open to it. Like, know that, like, the fact that I've been working with symbols for so long is that now it's hard for me not to look at a plate and go a circle, and then it's the earth and it's the world, you know, and, like, go off on all the associations with it. That, my mind is kind of, like, trained that way now. But earlier on, it was more like an overload of images. It's easier to ignore them all than it is to kind of look at each one.
That's a little deep. I don't do the whole circle earth thing. I'm probably glad for that.
For example, the circle thing, you know, because to me it's like circle. That's cool because different people can look at the circle and see different things, and I love that as an example of symbolism. A circle is a symbol. And if I were to ask you, you know, if you were to look at a circle, a drawing of a ring or circle, what images come up for you? And it's those images that empower that symbol for you.
The thing that I think when you say circle and I pictured one in my mind, I think completion.
Say that again? Inflation?
Completion, blamed it the whole way around.
Oh, exactly. Well, completion, you got it. I mean, see how natural you are at it?
It's like,
you look at the circle and there's a that's definitely part of you know, the meaning of a circle for a lot of people is there's a sense of full circleness, of, you know, completing something. So that would be like if I were to see that image and think completion, because I've thought of the word completion to go with circle before, I would have to specify it with a particular event or issue in my life. So what do I need? If I'm seeing circle and the word completion is coming up for me, what could I attach that to in my life? Relationships or projects, stuff like that.
It's a good daily.
You're right on it.
It's a good daily reminder. There's always little things that I see that make me smile or laugh or make you pause and think about somebody or something.
I think those are the juiciest moments, you know, when you just you stop and you just your perspective just expands like that. So.
And of course, I see a lot of ducks because I've built my brand around these ducks.
Well, your last name Mallard.
Yeah, I know it. And people are like,
and again, there we go again. It's like association, Mallard Duck, and it's cool that your website has a duck because it makes complete sense.
Right,
and then there's duck as a totem. I'm sure you know will reveal a whole bunch of stuff for you.
I have actually done some reading on it. And the other thing that I like the duck because it flies, it walks, you know, it does all these different things. It's multi-purpose. Mm-hmm. And it's good. It's a good thing to have as your goal.
Right.
So,
and if you're lucky enough to already have an animal attached to you some way by name, that's always a good place to start.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't want to outthink the room on that. No.
Well, that means, for me, if I were to interpret that, I'm like, that's why you're such a good radio interviewer type of person, because a duck is good in the water, in the air, and on the land.
Right.
So that would make sense that that's part of your personality, too, like airwaves, you know, on the ground or the emotional aspect of it is, like, you're good at all aspects of the mind, body, spirit.
Let's not go crazy now.
Okay.
Well, but as you said, it took you a number of years. I'm not going to go back and throw that number out. If anybody wants that number, go listen again. But it takes time. This isn't something that you say, you know what? Hey, listen to the Mallard Report tonight. I'm going on a spiritual journey, and I'll be there tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
No, it doesn't work that way. You got to.
No.
Takes years. Took you a long time, even after you kind of started having the realization that you were going that way.
Yeah.
And I'm still in the middle of it.
Well, you're exposed to so much already. I think you're off to, you know, all this information that's filtering through you now is going to, like, support whatever path you choose, which is great.
Yeah, I kind of jumped off the deep end.
You have to jump off the deep end every now and then. Not all the time, but...
Yeah, not all the time. I wouldn't encourage everybody to do it. It's not for the weak of heart, but...
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to jump, though.
Yeah. I agree. Because sometimes things... I don't know. I'm that kind of person that it's hard for me to be satisfied. So I have to, like, give myself challenges to keep me moving forward. Or I'm like, you know how they say when a shark stops swimming, they stop breathing, they die? I always imagine myself like that.
So I guess this begs this last little, I've probably got a few more questions in me, but I guess I can't preference this the last question, but the last serious question.
Okay.
So you got done with the deck of cards. You're just saying you have this inner perfectionist, which I know too well, too. So how did you let go of it and say that's it?
I another layer of the catharsis, I had to figure out a way to control that. Not control it, work with it, because I have OCD. Do you know what that is? The obsessive compulsive disorder? It's like a condition a lot of people have where their mind gets stuck in thought, and it just keeps repeating over and over. Like, for me, turning off the stove takes me forever because my OCD is like I have to continue checking to see if the stove is off. So that played a big role because that's where my control issues are. Like, I realized, oh, my God, I had to find a way to work with this condition. And it was with the tarot cards that actually helped me categorize my own, you know, obsessions in a way. So I didn't get rid of the controlling aspect of it. I'm learning how to work with it now in a creative way with the deck. So I'm hanging on to that. I think that having that control factor is helpful for me to organize things in my head.
Yeah, it's tough because the people that know me go to my website and go, "You changed it again." I'm like, "Yeah, I just need it perfect, and I can't."
We're on the same wavelength. Yeah, and it's never the thing is. I had to teach myself that I have to look at things that everything is going to be work in progress because I stress out if I start to think that this is I'm not going to do any more to these cards. Like it's such a stressful feeling of oh my god, it's. You know, it's written in stone. I can't change it anymore, and I had to totally shift that to no, it'll always be work in progress.
Well, it wasn't
and so that kind of.
It wasn't until like December, like a few months ago, that I started actually listening to my show. I couldn't do it. I'd sit there and go, "You should have said this, or you should have asked that," or, and I'd have to turn it off because it was just miserable. I couldn't do it. I was just making myself miserable. Now I can actually. Sit down and I still do it once in a while, but before it was brutal.
We are our worst critics, you know, so especially for perfectionists, it's like, I don't think I will listen to our interview, honestly, because that would stress me out too much, because then I would do the same thing and go, I said that wrong, or, you know, my God, I sounded stupid. So I'm like, the best thing for me to do is to do the interview and then let it go, because if I were to hear it, I would totally get stressed out.
Well, the good news is you sounded great to me. So
thank you.
That's the important thing.
Well, you made it easy for me. You're a comfortable person to talk with. So
well, that's what I want to be. I want to be the host that I'd want to be on the other end of.
You're a very good host. Yeah.
Okay, so one more time before I have to jet out of here. Where do we find the cards at?
You can find the cards on TamaraHouse.com. Website and the products card Tamara tarot cards related products are on there.
Right, and I want to say this one more time with you on. I'm doing one card readings for anybody that tweets me. I want a reading at iTalk Paranormal all week until next week's show. Anybody that's listening on the podcast, don't feel bad. Just tweet it out and we'll get her done for you. So, Vin, I
yes.
want to thank you for
Jim.
Joining me tonight. I'm going to unceremoniously hang up on you and do the last few little things I've got to do, and then I'll be done for
Great.
Tonight.
Very good. Thank you for inviting me. Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on.
Okay. Take care.
And that was Juan Vincent of Tamara House Tarot Cards. Like I said, now's your chance at iTalkParanormal on Twitter. Tweet me. I want a reading. That's all. It's simple. Be sure you're following me, though, because, you know, that's kind of important as well. I just say that because I want you to. I've already got a handful. I know throughout the course of the week I'm going to get some more. So, again, I need you to go check out Spirit Vlox apps. I'm not always a big proponent of using apps on an investigation, but Danny has put some apps together that make me ponder that theory a little bit. At least you're not taking pictures of ghosts already built in. So go do that. And like I said before, go to italkparanormal.com/go and get your app for your Android or your iPhone device for the Mallard Report. All good. I've heard pretty good reviews. I had one bad review, but you're going to have that no matter what you do. So that leads me to my final thought tonight, which is kind of funny, if you ask me. I've started putting together this Paranormal Standards website, which is kind of taking longer than I hoped. That's okay, though. Here's where we're at. I'm talking to people, and it's coming together. I'm finding writers. I'm finding people that want to help contribute by retweeting and all this other stuff. So it is going to come together. So we can't say that I'm full of hot air and it's not happening. Go to @ParaStandards on Twitter while you're there and follow it. 100 people, I think it's 100 people, or if not, it's close to 100 people have followed it. Why? Because they're interested in setting a standard for investigations. Why would we be interested in that? Well, because it's time. It's time to end all this unity talk. I don't want unity. I want solid networking between individuals, solid facts. I'm not telling you how to investigate. I'm just giving you tips like don't trespass. Use a flashlight as a flashlight. Come on. This is common sense stuff that most people just don't get or don't get the opportunity to hear. And here's the other thing I'm going to do with things. I'm going to keep it free. I'm not going to sell a book based off of it. I'm not going to sell a membership course. I'm not going to sell a certificate based off of it. It's all going to be free. That's the point, to put this information out there for people who want it. That's all it takes, is just want it. Want the knowledge and get it. It's not for everybody. I had a big, long debate on Twitter yesterday with a lady who was very, very content with a one-second EVP or a one photo as paranormal evidence. And she thinks that's going to prove to the world that ghosts exist? No, it's not. Get that out of your head right now. If you think that, probably should stop listening to my show, and it's going to cost me listeners because I said it. This isn't TV. This is real life. People want science involved with the paranormal. No, no, no. We've got to up our game to that point and then take it to them. They're not coming to us. They're not knocking on the door of paranormal investigators and saying, hey, I want to follow what you're doing. No. We've got to have standards, and as the standards grow, we'll take it to science. That's all I've got to say for tonight. I hope you enjoyed tonight's Mallard Report on spirituality, tarot cards, and everything in between. Until next week, have a good night.
Well, before we flip that on-air sign to the off position, a quick reminder. For all things about the report, previews, and reviews, go to italkparanormal.com.
If you're looking for a radio show where all things paranormal go, well, tune in.
Get connected with Take Two Radio on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio. For email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit TakeTwoRadio.com.